Dead end. As I was preparing for the message and just trying to hear, you know, from the Lord of what he wanted for today, this kept coming to my mind, dead end. And how when we see that sign driving, it tells us many things. It tells us we can't go any farther. More than likely, unless you're going to visit your aunt, it tells us we're on the wrong road. It tells us there's no way through, that we're going to have to turn around and go a different direction. And in life, we see this sign a lot. We hit a dead end. We hit a place where we feel like we can go no farther. We hit a place with like, that's it. I'm stopped. Where do I go from here? Well, if you're in a car and you go to a dead end road, you don't just stay there. You turn your car around and you come back out and you find the right road. Spiritually speaking, there's a right road that God wants us on. But on our journey, we're going to hit many dead ends. We're going to feel like we're at the end of ourselves through different seasons of our lives, whether it's in family, whether it's on our job, whether it's in our health, whether it's in our mental state or our emotional health, whatever it is, we go through tragedy, we go through storms, we go through diagnosis, we go through sickness, we go through pain, we go through loss, we go through grief. And all of those road signs that'll pop up say dead end. Can't go no further. But there are many dead ends we read about in the Bible that gave birth to a greater victory. And just because you're at a dead end now doesn't mean that's where you're going to stay. A dead end makes us focus on going a different direction because we can't go past that. So it forces us to back out of that situation and get out of there. But the devil wants to keep that sign staring at you, reminding of you your life's a dead end, your future's a dead end, your children are at a dead end, your health's at a dead end, and there's no chance of recovery, no chance of change, no chance of help. But that's just not true. As we see men in the Bible that we read about our whole lives, Sunday school to adults, we read stories of these men. We read stories of Moses and how Moses had a commission, how Moses was living a very dead end life. How Moses was raised with great education and great prominence. He was raised in royalty, really. And now he finds himself living in the backside of a desert tending sheep when he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And then God calls his name from a burning bush and says, Moses, I've got a different call for you. Your dead end here in the desert is going to lead to a greater victory. But it wasn't the only dead end Moses had. He had many dead ends that we know. He obeyed God. He went to Pharaoh. He talked to Pharaoh. Finally, Pharaoh let the people go. They're marching on their way. Everything is good. Hallelujah. It's Sunday morning. They're singing Amazing Grace. The offering was wonderful. The worship was wonderful. They were shouting and praising God. It was a beautiful day until they came to the Red Sea. On their journey, the first dead end they encountered was the Red Sea. And they're standing before that body of water. And everything would have been cool because they could have just turned around and went a different direction. But when they turned around and looked behind them, here comes Pharaoh's army. So they're pinned between the Red Sea and an army of soldiers. That's a pretty much of a dead end. Can't go any further. What do I do? I'm stuck. But then we see the glory of God show up in that dead end moment. We see the beauty of who God is show up, reminding Moses, reminding his children. Just because there's something standing in your way that seems immovable and impossible doesn't mean that it is. Because I am possible, and I can move anything, and I can change anything. I can restore anything. I can heal anything. I can deliver anything. I can set anybody free, anytime, anywhere, any place, because I'm God. And so as they're standing there staring at that Red Sea and the army coming, of course the people panicked. I would too. You can't swim. You don't want to get shot or stabbed, I guess, back then. So what do you do? All of a sudden, God tells Moses, just tell the people to stand still. I'm going to do something really special right here. I'm going to really show off right now. Just hold your rod up, Moses, and I'll take care of the rest. Just stand there, be the leader I called you to be, and I promise I'll take care of the rest. And as he raised that staff, all of a sudden the breath of God blew and the waters parted back. Man, God moved the waters. God took that dead end and made it a way of escape. God replaced that dead end sign and says, now traffic can come through. Only certain traffic. We'll tell you that in a second. So here comes Moses and all the people and all their animals, and they're marching across dry land. What once was a sea is now dry land, and they're walking across it. And when they all get across safely, here comes Pharaoh's army. And as they begin to cross it, God removes his breath off the waters and drowns the enemies. It was a dead end to them. That is one example in the Bible that teaches us that just because we're at a place where there seems no remedy out doesn't mean there's not. You know, church, we talk about God and we tell everybody at Walmart, hey, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I believe God can do it. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. But are we walking in that same faith? Are we really living it out? I mean, do we really believe God can do it, or do we just say it because that's always been trained that way? Well, I've always heard just say, pray for me. So that's what I say. Or do we mean it? Do we really know that God can heal any sickness, that God can set any captive free, that God can destroy any enemy that stands before us, that God's name is higher and stronger and greater and more powerful? And y'all should be amen in this, because this is the word of the Lord. God is bigger and stronger. Just because you're at a dead end don't mean it's finished, don't mean it's over, don't mean, oh well, I throw in the towel. Man, dead ends calls us to reevaluate where we stand in our lives and focus on getting out and getting to where God wants us. There are many doors we would never go through if God didn't slam them shut. Because we never close a door. Because we like safety. We like familiarity. My wife has never tried, ever tasted cottage cheese. But yes, she don't like it. How she know she don't like it? Because of the way it looked. How do you know? It could taste like filet mignon. You've never tasted it. You don't know what it tastes like. I mean, she doesn't have enough faith to step out and try a scoop of cottage cheese. But yet we believe God can really do anything. We love our comfort zone. We love being safe. We love what's familiar. You know, even in church culture, it goes that way. Well, you know, I was always raised a Baptist. I mean, that's just all I know. Well, know something else. Well, I was always a Pentecostal. Learn something else. Just because we've always been that doesn't mean that's where God always wants us at. So God, listen to him and say, you know what? I want to learn from you. And so what if I'm in a church where they never raise hands? Hallelujah. I told you We got a guy that grew up Presbyterian, and he started coming here. And he said the first few services, man, people were clapping, and they were amen, and you know, and had some hands raised. And he said, I'm looking around thinking, man, if this is my church, they'd be asked to leave. And he goes, so I kept coming. He says, you know what? I like it. So I'm like, that's awesome. You like it. It's amazing how when we allow God to lead us and to guide us, that he takes us to places we weren't at before. And so we may be at a dead end thinking, this is all I know, this is all I've ever believed, this is all God has for me, but it's not. Man, God has all kinds of levels and plans for our lives, and I really believe that we don't walk in the fullness of it because we don't trust it. We don't trust the plan God has for us. The story of Joseph also, he found a dead end several times. Here's Joseph, a good guy. You know, his brothers, think about this. His brothers. My mom's got three sisters. Okay, mom's walking alone one day. Loretta, Barbara, and Angela snatch her up and throw her down a pit and get rid of her. Go throw you in a hole and leave you to die because we're jealous of you. And they walk away. But then Angela gets convicted and thinks, you know what? Says, I don't want her to really die. Because I don't, not that I don't really want to die, but I don't want God to punish me. So what I'll do is I'll go back and at least sell Diane to a tribe walking by. So all of a sudden this tribe of Ishmaelites is walking by, and the sisters, or the brothers, excuse me, said, we'll sell Joseph to these people. So they sell him into slavery. So they threw him in a pit. That's a pretty much dead end. Then they sold him into slavery. That's a dead end. Joseph, though, God promotes him because, see, that dead end of Joseph was leading to where God wanted him to be. Because if he hadn't been in the pit, he wouldn't have been in the palace. Oh, that's good, church. Not just king. If he hadn't been in the pit, he wouldn't have made it to the palace. Sometimes it's the pit that produces the palace. Say that fast five times. Sometimes it's the pit that produces the palace. So he's in a pit, then he's in a slave, then he's a slave, but then God's favor shows up on Joseph. He finds himself in charge of Potiphar's house. He is the man of the house. I mean, he's got reign and control over the affairs and the functions of the household. Until that little old woman, it's always a woman, that comes by and likes Joseph and tries to seduce Joseph. My husband's away on business. He's at a business meeting. Won't you lie with me? I can't touch you. Not that I don't want to, trust me, no offense, but I can't. You don't belong to me. Oh, he'll never know. Come on, he'll never know. Joseph refused her, which showed his integrity. Well, she got mad. She went to her husband and come home from his business trip and said, he tried to sleep with me. Well, of course, he believed his wife. He throws him in prison, dead end. I mean, we fuss because our power bill is $50 too much for the month. Here's Joseph who got thrown in a pit by his brothers. Think of the pain and hurt that must have caused. I mean, can you imagine that? Your own kin throwing you in a pit and then selling you to get rid of you? And now he's in prison and he truly is innocent. Sorry, I'm doing the air quotes. I don't know why. He really is innocent. He's not guilty. He's done nothing but honor God. You think Joseph might have got a little bitter? He's down there eating bread and water. You know, it's his tin cup rattling across the bar. He's sitting there saying, you know, God, really? I mean, if I'd known I was going to be in prison anyway, I'd have slept with her. I mean, here I am, didn't sleep with her, and I'm innocent, and I've still got in prison. Are you kidding me? I mean, God, I honored you, and I'm in prison. And it wasn't just a 90-day thing. He was in there about 2 years. That's a long time. He's down there 2 years. Then all of a sudden, one day, his birthing moment, his dead end, comes to a close. The king calls him up because he heard he could interpret dreams. And the king could find nobody to interpret his dream. Calls Joseph up. Joseph interprets the king's dream. And then he puts Joseph in charge of implementing that dream. And he becomes prince of Egypt, second in command only to him. Man, his dead end definitely changed. But he went through the pit. He went through prison before he got to the palace. But there he is. Jonah, remember the story of Jonah? I say he had a dead end. He couldn't go nowhere. I mean, he was in the belly of a fish. Think about Jonah. He's on his boat. You know, God told him to preach. Go to Nineveh and preach. He didn't want to do it. I ain't going to Nineveh and preach. I'll go the other way. He thought he could escape God. Church, we are foolish. We think we can escape God. Man, God's everywhere. You can't hide from God. So he gets on a boat and goes the other direction completely. The storm comes. It's rattling. They don't know what's going on. Jonah immediately knows it's his fault. And says, just throw me overboard and everything will stop. He gets off the boat. Sure enough, the storm stopped. Here comes the fish, swallows Jonah up. 3 days in the well of the fish. Fish puts him back on shore. He goes and he preaches like he should have done before. The dead end of Jonah's life birthed a prophet speaking the word to a nation. There's times that we picture our dead ends as being the devil fighting us. I say this many times, church. I say it many times. The more I grow spiritually, the more I feel this way. I used to blame the devil for everything. Everything. It's always the devil's fault. Everything. You know? Everything was the devil. We say that all the time. Oh, boy. We make jokes about it. You know? Oh, man. The devil's fighting me. Sometimes, as I've learned, it's not the devil is coming against us as much as God is trying to position us. Because once again, let's put it this way. If we could really be real this morning, church, I'm including me too. I'm me. When is the most time that we really seek God? When we're low. When we're down. I mean, if all of a sudden somebody came today and gave you a $10,000 check or said, here's a cruise, I paid for it, go 10 days. I doubt you're talking to God much except saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. That's it. But man, when you don't have no money, you're struggling to pay the bills, you're battling addiction, you're going through divorce, you're battling sickness in your body, you're battling depression, loneliness, discouragement, fear, uncertainty, guilt, shame. When you're in those moments, that's when we tend to seek God at a different level than when things are just going hunky-dory. Because when things are hunky-dory, I think it's our human nature. Does anybody go talk to a counselor? None of y'all have ever in 15 years a pastor, I don't say ever, but as a general note, when you're calling me, you're not calling me and say, hey, just want to let you know life is wonderful and life is great, and I want to come get counseling and let you know how great life is. Because I'm going through victory spells, and I'm going through success moments, and I'm just so happy, 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 I can't contain myself and need you to help counsel my happiness. I don't get those calls. If I did, I would definitely have them recommend to get in very quickly. Because they own some, I need to help get through that. But I'm just saying, when people seek counseling, why do they seek counseling? Because they're down. When your car's not broke, you don't go to a mechanic. When your body's not sick, you don't go to a doctor. So when we are on a high level, many times we don't seek God the way we should. But in those down moments, when the devil's being bad, all of a sudden, I need you, God. It's what Paul said. When he said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I come to the end of myself, when I come to my dead end, then all of a sudden, I'm strong. Because it's the strength of God then that fills me, not the strength of my flesh. The woman with the issue of blood, we read this story. We know her story. 12 years, issue of blood, sickness, disease, dead end. No hope, no help, no resolve. Spent all her money, spent all her energy, spent all her time, spent all her emotional state. Could not find the healing that she wanted. She was at a dead end. But it's in that dead end moment that something came to her and says, you know what? I've exhausted all of my resources, everything, except one thing. I heard Jesus is in town, and I believe Jesus can touch me. After she had spent all she had, after she had done all she could, then she leaned on Jesus, approached him, touched his garment, and she was made whole. Her dead end birth the healing. Jonah's dead end birthed the prophet preaching the word. Joseph's dead end produced a prince of a nation. Moses' dead end produced a promised land to his people. Our dead ends can produce a new birth if we will focus on turning around and finding the right route instead of staying there saying, oh, well, I'm just done, I'm finished, this is it, and letting the enemy get into our minds, to our heads, keeping us down. Peter was in prison. He'd been arrested just for preaching Jesus. They done killed John, beheaded him, and they arrested Peter, put him in jail, put four soldiers around him to guard him, put him in shackles. But something happened in the middle of the night. The angel came by. Peter's shackles fell off. The cell door was opened up, and he walked out. Look at a dead end for Peter. He would have been executed. He would eventually have been executed at that moment. He was in jail just for preaching the gospel. But his dead end led to a new birth, and a mission, and a message, and people after that, many received the message of Christ. No matter where you're at today, no matter how what a place you're in, it doesn't mean that's where you're going to stay. I say this all the time. We're going to go through different seasons. You know, Ralph showed me a picture of him and Sherry before church. Beautiful picture of many, many, many years ago. It was so many years ago, I told Sherry, she the way she looked and was dressing her hair, she would have been perfect on a Scooby-Doo episode. If that tells you anything, the original Scooby-Doo. Ralph's got that black hair on top of his head. Sherry's got hair down to here. Got the bell-bottom pants on. Groovy, man. Groovy. Many, many years ago. Sherry, your life's changed a lot since those years, hasn't it? You've had good times and bad times, haven't you? They're not the same people they were then. They didn't stay the same. Sherry's hair is not long, and Ralph's hair's not there. And that's just how it is. And believe me, I can only say that because I'm like that too. A guy's got hair, can't tell a bald guy nothing. That makes me mad. But when you're bald, too, you can tell a bald guy that. Our seasons change. You know, when I think of my childhood, I had a good childhood. I think about what a great time my life it was. But you know, I'm glad I'm not a child anymore. I'm glad I grew up. I'm glad I'm an adult. Seasons bring different things. And through every season, we're going to have dead ends that come into our lives. We had a dead end in our lives, church. Go to my media shout now, Brandon, if you wouldn't pull up that scripture. We had a dead end in our lives called sin. Man had come to the only point they could come. No matter how good they lived, how holy they tried to act, we had a dead end. Psalms 121:1 says this, I will lift my eyes unto the hills. Where comes my help? Where does my help come from? Verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Our help comes from the Lord. So we've got to recognize that my help doesn't come from within me. My help doesn't come within my abilities, my talents, my skills, my knowledge, my wisdom. My help cometh from God. That's where I look up to. And there's many times we don't seek God until we're at a place that there is absolutely no way out. There's times we've got to hit bottom. We've got to hit gutter level before we'll ever really climb out. Because as long as we think we've got an answer, we keep doing it our way. But when we exhaust all answers, then, Lord, I need you. That's where my help comes from. When I'm in a dead end, my help comes from God. When I'm in a place I can't go no further, my help comes from God. See, God can supernaturally, at any moment, if we believe that, I mean, we read scriptures like he takes care of the sparrows, right, and the robins, and he feeds them every day. They're not out holding signs. Homeless need food. You ever seen a robin with a sign at Walmart, homeless need food? You know, no. Get in their SUV when they leave. No. You don't see that. God takes care of them. So if God takes care of the little robins, the little animals, aren't we a greater creation than that in his eyes? Of course we are. God can supernaturally change your moment at any time. He can take the dead end sign out of your life at any moment and give you a brand new road to walk on. God can bring healing at any moment. Deliverance at any moment. Peace and joy any moment. That's what God does. Well, Pastor, you don't know. I've been praying. He ain't showed up yet. Let's talk about that a minute. Number one, if he hadn't showed up, you would know it. I promise you. Because there's times in our storm that he keeps us from drowning. Yes, we might get wet and weathered, a little bruised up, but he kept us from drowning. If God wasn't in your storm, if he wasn't answering your prayer, believe me, you would know it. God is doing more than we give him credit for. Maybe God is not waving the magic wand and making all of your dreams come true in the exact moment you want them to. But he is with you. And if he wasn't with you, you would know it. It's like the breath in your body. If you don't have breath, you know it pretty quick. If you fight any kind of COPD or pulmonary breathing issues, you know how precious breath is. And when that breath leaves, whew, you know it. So maybe you can't walk up 3 flights of stairs without stopping. That's okay. But you're still breathing. And you still made it up 3 flights of stairs. God is still there. And then next scripture. This is Romans chapter 8. We'll close out with this scripture. Paul's talking here about the law and about sin. Now here's where our dead end comes spiritually. You know, we think, okay, if I do all these things right, God will see fit to get me to heaven. He'll see fit to let me in. You know, if I do all this stuff, if I give my offering and if I, you know, pray every day and read my Bible and don't steal and don't cuss and don't do all this stuff and I'm good to people, God will get me in. Romans 8:2 says this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. I don't care how much, church, we want to live for Jesus. There are moments in our lives we don't. And there are moments in our lives If you ever seen the old Twilight Zone series, the original Twilight Zone series, one of my favorite episodes is little Timmy, who wishes everybody in the cornfield. He's a bad boy. He has bad thoughts. And if you tick Timmy off, you will be gone. And so when you start talking about Timmy, he starts saying, I feel what you're thinking about me. You better think good thoughts. Better think good thoughts. No matter how much we want to think good thoughts, we're going to have bad thoughts. We're going to act out. We're not going to always forgive someone the way we should forgive them. We're not going to always love someone the way we should love them. We're not going to always treat people equal, no matter how much we try to. We see someone and we judge someone before we get to know that person. That's human nature. So before we try to say that we can be good within ourselves, we cannot be good within ourselves. None of us can keep the law. And the law was over 613, I think, Jewish laws that were in place. I mean, church, we can't keep three or four of them. We can't keep the basic ones. We've all lied. I don't care what you said. We've all lied. Can you tell I've lost weight? Yeah. Yeah. You like my new hairstyle? Oh, yeah, girl. And you go home, that, what was she thinking? Oh, she must have been smoking some crack when she did that because she looks horrible. Don't tell me we ain't lied. Good message, preacher, today. Man. I get it. I mean, there's times that we do it to save face and not to hurt someone's feelings. We call it little white lies, right? Or I don't want to hurt their feelings. Or I'm doing it for them, you know? For what the law could not do, it was weak. God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. We were at a dead end. We could not save ourselves. We could not see God based on where we were right now. But because Christ came and paid that penalty in his own flesh for our sin, the dead end sign was removed out of our lives, and now it says, come on ahead. Come on through. The dead end stopped us from seeing God, but it was removed through the blood of Jesus, and now it says, come on through. We now can touch him and be where he is at. He rerouted our steps. He rerouted our path because of Calvary. That's what he did for us. One more verse here, verse 4. He did this that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. Oh, look at this. Now, look at this verse a minute. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Roger's now perfect. Do you know that, Lillian? He is perfect. She don't believe that. But in God's eyes, because Jesus paid for Roger's sins, now the law has been fulfilled by Christ, and that is extended through humanity. So now the sentence, the penalty that was owed has been paid in full by the sacrifice of Jesus. The dead end that kept us away from God has been canceled out, and now it says, come on through, come to me, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The sin doesn't stop us anymore from seeing the face of God because he paid that price. Man, that's why we no longer, that's why it says in verse 2 that we are free from the law of sin and death. Free from it. I don't owe nothing. We think we send kudos up to God by things we do. Church, as Christians, we do things. We're supposed to give to the church. We're supposed to fast from time to time when that arises. We're supposed to pray daily. We're supposed to be in our word. You know, we're supposed to praise God and serve God and be a light to God all that we can. But none of those things give us righteousness. None of those things make us better than anyone else. If Roger wants to fast for 21 days and I don't, you know what that makes him? Hungry. I mean, it's okay. That's great. But it don't make him no more holy than me if I don't fast. Because my righteousness is not tied to my fasting. It's not tied to my praying. It's not tied to my giving. It's tied to what he gave, what he did, what he produced. That one seed forevermore, sealing me eternally forevermore. That's what he did. So whatever dead end is in your life today don't mean it's a bad thing necessarily. It means it calls you to reevaluate and say, I don't want to stay here because there's nowhere to go past this. So what do? Got to look for the road you want me on. Have you ever seen the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks? You know, it has a lot of talk in it. But have you ever seen that movie? At the very end, when he gets off the island, he's delivering that last package. He's in, I guess, Texas somewhere. And the last scene shows him at those crossroads, on the dirt roads, four ways. He's standing in the middle. He's looking every direction. He is so lost. He don't know which way to turn. His life has changed so much. The woman he loved remarried because she thought he was dead. So he's standing there alone with no purpose really at that point, no plan. And he's looking around and has to pick a road. There's times in our lives that we get to that dead, put the dead end sign back up for me, Brandon. That we get to the dead end sign, and instead of turning around and looking for a new way, we just stay there. Well, how many of us have said this expression? You ain't got to raise your hand. Well, that's just my lot in life. That's how it is for me. That's the hand I've been dealt. It's the cards that I hold. It's just what it is. I love this expression, right? It is what it is. Who says it is what it is? Man, it can be so different than what it's always been. I think our words are powerful and our words make a difference. And if we truly, I mean, don't we fight, hopefully, in other things in our lives? We fight for our kids. We fight for our spouse. We fight for our job. There's things in lives that we do fight for. There's things that we, you know, say, you know what, just because it's a dead end, I'm not going to give up. But so many times the devil comes against us and tells us there's no more hope. Man, there's always hope. We're alive in Christ. There's always hope. Through the years, I have an expression I made up years ago, Melanie. I still say it this day, 25 years later, we say it. You know, we've raised three kids, and you know, we've had, like everybody other family, we've had times of financial issues, and, you know, it seems like everything happens at one time sometimes. Transmission goes out, right? Then something happens here, and you're like, you know, where's all this money going to come from? How are we going to pay for it? And I, just to kind of make it light, I always tell Melanie, you know what, I ain't worried about it. There's more where that came from. And there is. I don't know where it's at. But I know there's more where it came from. Because I serve a God who said he will supply all of my needs according to James Lewis's 401k, excuse me, according to James's savings account. according to God's riches. He'll supply my needs according to his riches. Well, God don't run out. God's got more than enough to take care of me if I live to be 2,541 years old. He's got enough. We count down, we get retired. You know, people are saying you need to make whatever part of your salary, have as much income coming in after you retire to get you through the next 20 years if you live, blah, 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 blah. They have all these formulas they talk to you about. If you plan on living 20 years after retirement, you need this much money in the bank, da, 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 da. And I understand we should plan, but sometimes it just ain't there. Sometimes life comes up. When you're raising kids and you're replacing transmissions and life just happens sometimes. And sometimes everybody doesn't have their goal met when they retire. But you know what? Did you know that you prime timers had the same God I got? Roger and Gail got the same God I got. So you know what? Just because you're on a fixed, there's the quotes again, fixed income. You know why you're on a fixed income? Because God fixes it. And God can take care of it. And just because you don't even have a job, it don't mean God can't provide and take care of you. Somehow, some way, if we believe that our needs are met by him. Don't let the dead ends of your life keep you in that place, church. Man, there's a whole world to see. When we started building this building, it was a brand new change for us, you know. We had grass right there, then a playground right there, and all of a sudden there's a big building sitting there. It looks different. It's exciting for some people. It's been a little emotional because it's not what it was. And some folks said, oh, I miss what we had. But you got to go for what God has planned. I mean, once again, my mom had a 1984 Pinto. Bought it brand new. Nice car back in. Brand new. Baby blue Ford Pinto. You still got that Pinto, Mom? It's okay. Mommy still got that Pinto. She grew up. And she advanced. Now she got a Kia. Ooh. And Dad's got, for the first time, a Toyota. Whoa, I mean, he really upgraded. We change. We evolve. Don't let the devil keep you where you're at and not let God evolve you to the next season, birth you to the next season. There is great glory in the next season. Just because it's not like it was, don't mean it can't be great in what it's going to be. It can be great. If you've got grown kids, isn't it great having a relationship with your grown kids? That's great to have that. You know? Even mom's told me, as much as she loved me, me being the only child and all that, you know, gooey mommy stuff, even she told me she wouldn't want me back at 10 years old again raising me. Not sure I believe her, but she tells me that. She wouldn't want me back raising me at 10 years old. She likes having a grown son. Take care of her. I feel secure. I know you're going to take care of me and you're going to help me and, you know, you're there for me and all that. It's a different support system. It's a beautiful thing to have that next season. Whatever the dead end is your life, don't think you're going to stay there. Let God turn it around and you say, okay, God, this is not where I'm supposed to go because I can't go no further. So I'm going to turn around and go to where you want me to go. And lead me, God, to that next season and that next phase of my life and that next place. Marty, come on up here if you would and play a little something. I want to pray this morning over the church. We all are battling something. And as a pastor, I still learn new things. And, you know, I went to see Miss Sharon for her surgery down there Thursday morning. And me and Joe had a chance to talk for a couple of hours out in the waiting room. And, you know, as much as I know Joe, as long as I've known Joe, there were things he shared with me that I didn't know. Things he'd been going through I didn't know. And I'm sitting there like, man, he hadn't told none of that to me. He hadn't shared that with me. He goes, well, it's just, you know, just it's, we'll get through it. It's been rough, but we just keep going forward. You see Joe smiling on Sunday mornings and greeting everybody, but had no idea the last year or so of his life, so many battles have rose up. Didn't know it. If I passed the mic around, we all would have something that we're going through. I mean, church, we are in seasons right now. Some of us are in seasons we never planned on being in and we never thought we would see. But we're here. But it doesn't mean that season, that place you're in this morning, is going to be the place you stay in. I keep saying that. Don't let it be the place you stay in. Rise up. Be strong and courageous. Step out and face what God has waiting on you with no hesitation and no reservation. Say, God, I don't know it yet. I don't understand it. But I trust you. I trust you more than I don't understand what you're doing. I trust you more than I don't understand my situation. I trust you more than the confusion and the pain and the guilt and the uncertainty I'm facing. I trust you more than that. God will get you through. Stand with me if you would. Let me pray over the congregation this morning. There are many things, God, we don't understand. Many things we're facing that we don't know why we're facing them. We think we're reaping something we've sown. We're thinking the devil's attacking our lives. We may think you're against us and you're punishing us. And we just don't understand, God, sometimes why we're at these dead ends of our lives where there's no hope, there's no joy. We've lost our peace. We've lost our purpose. God, we've lost our joy. We've lost who we were. We've lost who we are. We used to be this and now we're this. And we've let things harden us and we've let bitterness step into our lives and we put walls up. We shut people out. We changed who we are because we've let life dictate that. But God, I pray that hearts melt this morning under your presence. I pray you melt the hearts of your people and that you remind them that you're not punishing them. That God, you're redirecting us. That you're wanting us to believe on you and call upon you and depend upon you and trust you through the darkness and through the storm and through the battle.
just trust you through it all, that we will see the victory in due season, that we will arrive at the destination you've called us to arrive at. We will show up where you have planned us to show up, just like Moses and just like Joseph and just like Jonah and just like David. All the men we read about in the Bible, all the great stories and all the events we read about, where you took dead ends and you birthed a new beginning. I pray for a new beginning in our lives. I pray you fill the hearts this morning of your people, that you fill our minds and with joy and peace, that you take away the pain, and that you remind us that you are for us and not against us, and that you will see us through. And the dead ends this morning are going to turn around, and we are going to find our way out of the depth of the mess that we're in. And we will stand on top of the mountain with our staff raised, saying these words, "I have seen the salvation of my God." We will experience that moment because you're in that moment. Give us that strength and faith to walk the road until we get there, and not stop and not rest and not return back and not look back, but keep on going forward. We ask this, that you bless your people with this new strength and this new vision today. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said, amen. Go ahead and sing that march, wherever you're playing or wherever.
God, make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see.
Against you. I think it's the biggest message we got to get out of our minds, that God is somehow punishing us for something we've done. God came to remove the punishment. God came to set us free. He's a good, good Father, and that's what He came to do. Why would He redeem us to punish us? Why would He die for us to curse us? He came to set us free. We are the redeemed of the Lord. And the Bible says, let the redeemed say so this morning. I am redeemed through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's going to make a way. Y'all can be seated this morning just for a minute. I need to talk to you just for a minute. Give me 5 minutes. I don't want me to do this, but I want to talk about where we're at in our building and a little bit about the financial need we have. If you've not walked in there, our kitchen got installed yesterday, most of it. Missing one cabinet and a countertop. July 16th, as you know, we're having our 15th year celebration and our dedication of our building. Sunday morning, July the 16th. If you're going to come, please sign the sheet. I need a head count. Sign who you're bringing. If you're going to bring two or three people with you, put your name and put beside it three, so I know how many actual bodies are going to be out there. I need to know a count as close as possible. But let me update you on what's, we're pretty much have got everything. We've got a few little just decorative things to buy for the building, a few little decorative things, but pretty much we're done with the bulk stuff. We did order 8 more tables, round tables, so that'll seat 120 once we get those in there in the building. We had one family that stepped up and bought the first 12 tables, bought them, all 12. So we had to buy 8 more. If you want to help be a part of purchasing a table, we would appreciate that. It would just help offset some of the expense coming out. We have really been frugal with the money. Me and Mom working very close. She does all the bookwork for the church. She can tell you that I've been as tight as I can with stuff. We've had to modify as we went along. That's why we're keeping a cement floor. We cut a cost there. That's why we got a painter to paint it for a tax write-off. That saved us some money. We have really tried to cut back to keep it where we need to be, because I knew at the end we'd have a lot of expense coming out of our savings, and we have. We bought 8 more chairs. It was right at $800, $793 to be exact. So if you want to help offset that, $100 a table would cover the table plus the shipping pretty much that it cost. $100 will pretty much cover a table. If you want to be a part of purchasing a table, that would be great to do $100 to take care of that. We had to buy folding chairs. I bought 52 folding chairs. Walmart was really good. They gave me a 10% discount on those chairs, but that was $440-some for the folding chairs. We had to expend that. Our kitchen, we were very frugal with that. Went to Lowe's, picked out cabinets. It's not a huge kitchen. It's very just what we feel like what we need. The kitchen cabinets alone was $2,700. The appliances were $1,500. We had to pay someone to put the cabinets in. So, you know, we've had some pretty big expense come out the last couple of weeks, a lot of expense. Appreciate your giving, church. We're having a great year. Y'all been very supportive. Couldn't have done it without you. We're not in trouble by any means. I'm not saying we're in trouble. I just want to try to help offset some of the expense. So if you want to be a part of buying a table, maybe helping with those folding chairs, something like that, to say, you know, I want to, if you write a check, make sure you note it, table, chairs, something. If you want to do that, you know, a little bit as a little extra bump right now. We should pretty much, we'll be complete by the 16th, completely ready. We'll have everything in there ready. Everything will be done completely. And we're looking forward to that celebration, 15 years of ministry as well as our dedication. We are going to be eating that Sunday. You don't need to bring anything. That'll be handled for that Sunday morning. That's why I need a head count. It's going to be a beautiful day. I hope you can be here. I know if you got plans to be out of town, you can't help that, and I hate that, but I understand that. We had to pick a date sometime, so the 16th pretty much matches up with our 15-year anniversary. What I love is we have several in here who have been here the whole 15 years of our ministry in here now. We've got my mom and dad, of course, the Forbes family, Joe and Sharon, Von Seal, Katrina, Angela Sierra, Grandma, and some more, Karina, but she's not here this morning. So we've got several that's been here all 15 years. They were there at the very beginning of this fire department days and stayed 15 years, and I appreciate that support so much. We've come a long way, church, in 15 years. We have come a long way. I mean, I look back, and I'm amazed at the how we ran on the budget we ran on. I mean, we were on a lean budget. I mean, there were really times that it was tight, and then God would just show up in a magnificent way. We had a lady come about 5 years ago, probably. She's sitting back here about where Jeannie is. She went back to West Virginia. She don't live here anymore. But she came just about 4 or 5 services. And we were taking up an offering, and church didn't know this at the time. We were down to the lowest point in our general fund we had ever been, ever. I mean, we were down to the point I was getting nervous, and I'm the man of faith, right? I was getting nervous. I'm like, man, we got to get some funds coming in. Well, the offering went around that morning, and we got a check from that lady for $7,000. Well, she got a phone call. You want me to call you? Give me $7,000. So I call her, and I said, look, I just want to thank you for this gift. I mean, I just can't. And I told her the story. I said, we were down to the lowest point. I mean, we were down to a point it was really getting, I was getting nervous. And I said, your offering got us way back in the black. And she says, well, you know what? Said, as you were having the offering, said, she sold a house in West Virginia. So I just sold a house. And said, God kept doing me to give that money. And said, and she told me this, and I kept fighting him. I'm like, Lord, I can't give that much money. But he just kept on, said, you need to give that money. And said, it wasn't an easy thing, Pastor, I'm going to tell you that. But I just had to obey. God kept pressing me. And y'all know me, been with me all these years. I never talk about Harley tithes and offering, never bring up money. God just always takes care of it. I feel like that if he raises up, it's his responsibility to take care of it, not mine. And if God don't take care of it, then he didn't, and we'll move on and I'll do something else. But it's God's responsibility to take care of the church. I feel that way as far as trusting him. And he uses us, of course, to do that. But she did that. And so we've had times through our ministry like that where God showed up in a miraculous way like that. I mean, this family rose up to about 12 tables. That's a lot of money. About 12 tables, one family. So we're seeing, and I didn't ask for that. I mean, they just did it on their own completely. So God is showing up. And church, God has blessed us so greatly. And if God has blessed you and there's more you can do than what you're doing, then do it. Say, you know what? This important investment, this is your church. This is where your children and grandchildren, you're growing hopefully spiritually, and your life is enriched by the church. So if there's more you can do that you're not, do it. Trust God. So you know what? I'm going to trust God. So I just want to let you know what that need is. We're very excited. Like I said, the other 8 tables will be here this week. We'll have those in. The rest of the kitchen might not be for a couple weeks because we're waiting on that countertop. It's a special order we had to do. But within a couple of weeks, we should have everything completely done in there. But if you're not looked in there, go in there and check out the kitchen. It looks really nice, and it's really coming together. And we're very, very blessed and very, very excited. I want to thank our Wednesday night people, all three of you. Y'all really, I'm playing. We had more than that. Our Wednesday night people, y'all did great the last two Wednesday nights. Just so the Sunday people know, the last two Wednesday nights, we've had our church put out all the tables. Those first 12 that came in, they uncrated them, unboxed them, put them out. Then last Wednesday, they put out 52 folding chairs, broke all them apart, and put all them out after service. And they got daylight donuts last Wednesday. So if you're missing Wednesday nights, you're missing something good. I might have a surprise you don't know about. So I want to thank my Wednesday folks for doing that the last 2 weeks. I really do. And we got some great people. I want to thank Ralph and Thomas and Roger, this Roger back there, and Trey and Michael, the young man back there, over here all day, not all day, but several hours yesterday, working out in the yard, cutting back some brush along that line, getting the yard cleaned up, doing some stuff. And just really appreciate all the volunteers, what everybody's doing. It means a lot. This Roger here came by to put the microwave plug in for me yesterday for the cabinet guy. He came and ran it and put the water supplies lines in the sink. I appreciate that. So just thank y'all for what you're doing. Shirley changed our sign yesterday. We had like a little meeting over here yesterday. It was great. So if you want to get involved and want to do something, all you got to do is say, Pastor, put me to work. And I guarantee, just like Andy Griffith told that bum in the woods, I'll stay right with you until we find the perfect job for you. So I promise we can find you something to do. So if you want to get involved, let me know. And you know, one thing you do this evening is come by at 4 o'clock and help Randy with these decorations and stuff. He really is a help for that. We want to make a success for our children. So, ushers, come on up. We'll get to offering, taking care of them, and get you out of here for the day. Oh, yes. Yeah, let me tell you this while they're coming up. When we first had the fire department, y'all remember the Silver Fox van we had, y'all? The Silver Fox. She was a beauty. I'd like to have that now to haul stuff into the house. That'd be great. For 2 years, 2.5 years, we met at Monticello Fire Department. And so, or took a couple years, right? 2.5 years, wasn't it? Yeah, 2.5 years we met in the fire department. And so we were taking speakers. In fact, these two speakers here we were using every service. We had speakers, poles, a portable amplifier, a rug we rolled out, some plants we brought in to decorate this place up. Yeah, these plants came out. They were in the fire department days. So sometimes I have trouble letting go, too. But anyway, those were in the fire department. That's right. They cornered our rug for our little altar we had up there. But for 2.5 years, we had to pack that van every single day. And we needed something. I was packing my car. We was taking some 2 cars to get all the equipment in. We was tearing our cars up. So, you know, I got the board. I said, look, we got to get a van to haul this stuff. I can't haul this stuff in my car. It's tearing my car up. We need something, big cargo van. We can throw all this stuff in. So we found one in Taylorville for sale. Won $800 for it. And I'm going to tell you something, church. Back in those days, $800 might as well have been about $8,000. I'm telling you, $800 was tough back then. That was a lot. And he had this gray Ford van. I don't know what year it was, in the 80s, I guess. And only had 2 front seats, bucket seats. The rest was empty. Perfect, what we needed. Big cargo van. And so I went up and looked at it, test drove it. It was not pretty at all, but it ran and it functioned. And I'm like, you know, $800, this will work. So I said, let me go home, think about it, get with the board. I'll let you know something tomorrow. So I called him back, said, we'll come up here and we'll get it. He goes, okay. So I had the money in my hand, went to the house. The guy says, a private resident selling it. And he goes, you know what? Me and my wife discussed this and said, we talked about what you were doing and starting this church, and said, we just want to give you this van. Just take it. And gave us that van. We call it the Silver Fox. Yep. And so anyway, we
then the van you see out here now was also a gift for us. Bob, who passed away a couple years ago, he's buried in our cemetery. Well, not buried in our cemetery, but he's, well, he's sort of up there. But anyway, he came to me one day. He goes, the church needs a van to go pick up people, pick up kids, pick up folks, whatever, you know, we need a van. I said, well, we do, Bob. We ain't got in the budget. We just can't, that's not a priority right now, really. I mean, I know it'd be nice to have one. He said, I tell you what, I'm going to go get a van, and I'll make payments on it until you get a point, you can take it over. I said, well, okay. So he went and got that van, 2005, as long as like a year old when he got it, almost brand new. Got it all lettered, as you can see. I mean, he lettered that thing. He wanted to know where we went to church. Lettered that thing, made payments on it, and on his own, he came to me and said, you know what? Says, I just feel led. I'm just going to pay that van off. And it was like $26,000 van. And he was just a mechanic at a garage, ran a garage. He wasn't a rich man. Church, they didn't even own their own home. They rented. And he paid off a van for the church. Both our vans were gifts from God. And so when I say that's why we don't do fundraisers, we don't do yard sales to raise money, we don't do cake sales. I'm just not going to put God in that position. If God can't take care of it, I just believe God's take care of it. That's my God. Nothing wrong with having those things. But I just have always trusted God because it's like I say, it's like the old joke said. The preacher come out one Sunday morning and said, I got good news and bad news. The bad news is the roof is leaking. And the church went, oh. But here's the good news, Teresa. Y'all have the money to fix it. See, no reaction on that. So that's kind of how I've always felt. We're a church. We're a family. And I've always tithed to the ministry from day one. Always tithe. You don't see me put a check in because I always put mine in when I get here early on Sunday morning. I go ahead and lay it in there. I tithe. I always have. Regular. So I'm not asking the church to support anything that I'm not supporting. I tithe. Even when I left my job to start pastoring, I still tithe off my little itty-bitty income I had compared to what I was making. I tithe on that even. So I'm not asking you to do anything I don't do. I support the church completely financially with my first fruits. So anyway, God's blessed us, and he's going to continue to bless us, and we're just so thankful that we have this new facility. It's going to open up so many more opportunities for ministry, community outreach, things we want to do. So, and y'all have made this happen, and I want to thank you. Some of y'all supported us from the very beginning like clockwork, and it humbles me. It really does. So thank you. Father, we ask the blessing upon this offering today. I pray you speak to hearts to support this work, God, and to give and to realize that their giving is making such a difference, that lives are being changed, are being transformed, hearts are being healed, souls are being saved. People are seeing you maybe the first time ever in their lives through this ministry because this place is here. And God, I pray that you speak to hearts to generously support this important work that you have raised up. We know you're going to take care of us. We trust you and we believe you. And we thank you for almost 15 years, God, of blessing this work and for all the lives that come through these doors and for the other lives that are yet to come through these doors that will. We give you honor and praise for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.